Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
I get to welcome our preacher today, Matt Johansson. Come on up. Matt and I went to a wedding last weekend together, and Matt and I, when we're in the same area, we're just connected at the hip. We kind of bail on our wives and just hang out together. And while Matt and I were playing cornhole together, and he we were playing this beanbag toss game together, and you want to be on the clergy's team when it comes to games of beanbag tossing, but Matt and I were against each other, so we got to stand next to each other, and as we're talking, he was sharing some of his story about this last year, about what God has been doing, and right as he was talking, I was like, I think there's a sermon in there, so on the drive home from San Diego, I texted Matt, said, dude, you got to share that, and he, without reservation, without even skipping the beat, said, I'm ready to go, so we're super excited to have you here and your wife Alexa. So let's just pray for you guys as you get ready to share the word. We stretch out a hand to my brother Matt here. Aren't Matt's handsome?
Good looking guys.
Beards and awesome stuff. So God, would you just come and just fill Matt right now with your Holy Spirit? God, would you give him boldness and bravery to speak your word with the authority that is already inside of it? So God, I pray that you would unclutter that mind, you'd give him peace, and he would share your word. And God, I pray that your word would come and it would transform our hearts and our minds and our lives. So God, we thank you for this man who is up in front of us. Is just really a vessel that will be used to show and teach and model what your love really looks like. So Holy Spirit, would you meet us here today? And thank you for Matt. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you welcome him?
Okay, so, yeah, as Matt talked about over a game of cornhole, we really talked about kind of what was going on in life, and he said, hey, you should come and speak. And yes, I did give him a quick answer of I'd love to, but inside of me, I was absolutely frightened. public speaking was never something that was easy for me. I always got nervous, especially with people that I love. So it makes it a little bit harder to be here and nerve-wracking, maybe not harder, but nerve-wracking because I want to do a good job for you guys. Also, Laura, thank you for coming out. My sister's here today. She drove an hour out to come be with us. Also, you know, some of you may be thinking like, oh, well, why are they here? We just sent them off. Like, you guys are supposed to, come on, get out. man, we are sure glad to be back. Church hunting is not an easy thing to do, especially when you have such a family as you do here at Vintage Faith. There's just nothing like you guys. So keep getting connected, getting to know each other, caring for each other. Don't ever miss out on that. So let's jump into this real quick. I'm going to be answering three questions here through the sermon today. The first is, where is God amidst our struggle? What is our response to God? And what is the result of our perseverance? So to open, we're going to read James 1, 2 through 4. I'll give a few minutes if anyone wants to turn there or turn their phones on and get there. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Man, the words are really small. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, this has been a verse that has really resonated with me over the past year, and it's because we've been through a season of trials. Isn't it interesting, when everything seems to be going well, things just begin to go wrong? I remember one time I was out for Thanksgiving, out riding in the desert, and having a good old time, riding, you know, dirt bikes and stuff like that, and it was so much fun, And then I started getting a pain in my side, and then boom, I had appendicitis, and I was in the hospital for 10 days. It's just like, what's going on here? Like, everything was great, or you know, we might be enjoying our work and our job, and then all of a sudden, boom, we're out of work. And we're like, what happened? God, I thought this is where you wanted me. Well, Alexa and I, we just got married. We both had good jobs where, you know, God was working in. And we couldn't stop praising God. It's so easy to praise God when everything seems to be going right. But then my grandpa got sick. And his health was already deteriorating. He's 90. His health was slowly going. But within a week, his health started rapidly declining. And other than Jesus and my dad, he was my hero. He was like a father to me, really, and was a man of God that I looked up to. And over a week, his health had gotten worse, and I got a text one Thursday at work, and my mom told me to come on over, and that same day, we saw him pass away. And I asked myself, God, why does this happen? Why would you take my grandpa, my hero? The week of my grandpa's passing, my younger sister told her family that she's going to be getting a divorce. God, why? Why must my sister go through this pain? What is going on? Then maybe a week after that, my sister Laura, she was diagnosed with CML leukemia. She is married with three beautiful kids now. And she just started going through foster to adopt right now. And she had been dealing with medical issues for about 2 years, and two-thirds of that time she spent in the hospital. Now, that's a lot of time to be in the hospital. And if you've ever visited a hospital or been in the hospital, it's not a fun place to be in. She almost actually died twice, declared. And here, you know, you think she's up on the right path and she gets diagnosed with this. And you think, God, why? Why cancer? She's dealt with so much. Don't you care? 1 month passed away after that. And my dad's dad passed away. And you ask God, why? Aren't you there for my family? Do you even care? Answer me. Well, I think it's only natural that we ask why. I think it comes from, even when we're children, we ask our parents, why? Why can't I touch the fire? Why can't I, go play around the pond or whatever things we may not understand? Why can't we go do those things? But I think the answer here is because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that has sin, has disease, has death, has tragedy, and has loss. There's an answer to that. Jesus speaks on this. In John 16:33, I'll wait for the words to get up. He says, I've told you these things, this is Jesus speaking, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus isn't saying, maybe you have trouble. He doesn't say, if you're bad, bad things will happen to you. Sometimes we think if we're good, then, only good things are going to happen to us. But no, bad things happen to everybody. We will experience trouble. It's interesting because before Jesus came, they thought when the Messiah was to come, it'd be peace on earth. That everything will be gravy, we'll be out from Roman capture, boom, everything's going to be great. But Jesus says here, no, you will experience trouble. And even Jesus himself experienced loss with Lazarus. Although he was raised again. pain, loneliness. He was deserted. He was hated at times. And though he did not sin, he still experienced temptation. Now, I would say that is important for a Savior to experience, because how can he relate to us if he's never been through anything like that before? The fact that he has been through those things makes him a worthy Savior, one that can carry on our burdens because he's first dealt with those. So in this world, we will have trouble. Is that the end? No. We have a hope. His name is Jesus Christ. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The knowledge of Jesus sitting on the throne as his enemies, as his footstools, says that he's conqueror of all. And that is where our hope and our peace lies. So with that knowledge, let's go back to our original verse, James 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Where is that peace coming from? Because when I'm going through trials, I don't feel peace. It comes from knowing that Christ is there. He has conquered it all. And we can then look to him through those trials. Now, my trials may have looked a little bit different than yours. But I bet you between all of us, we've gone through some stuff. We've seen some things, but we've also had God bring us through that. I think that's why we're sitting here today. It's because we've seen the faithfulness of God. I mean, if God wasn't here, if God wasn't with us, we'd have no reason to be here. It may be sin, loss, depression, loneliness, new challenges at work. We're going to go through things, and we have gone through things. Now, the next part of this verse says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, this word perseverance comes from the Greek hopomone. There we go. Thank you. I practiced that so many times, and I think I just practiced it a little too many times, and I got really nervous when I tried to say it. So this perseverance is a steadfastness, a constancy, an endurance. Another way that it's described is a patient and steadfast waiting for. And where does this perseverance come from? I don't feel perseverance when I'm going through my troubles. Well, I have an example here. I have an example here to show what's going on. So, thanks, Alexa. I know I'm breaking a whole bunch of rules right now. I got water in the sanctuary and everything. I'm just really thirsty. I went hiking Mount Baldy yesterday, so I need to hydrate again. So this, for another term, is it's a backpack. I know. But today it's going to be the yoke that we carry. The things that we carry in life. And sometimes that can get pretty heavy. Sin gets in our life and messes things up. Our family goes through struggle. Our bodies begin to break down. We feel alone. We feel hated. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. He wants you all alone. For this example, I'm actually going to need somebody to help me out. And you up? Okay. Come on up. All right. Well, I'm not going to have you put this on yet.
Okay.
All right. Alan is going to be God in the situation. So go ahead and stand over there. Scoot back a little bit. Now, I think God has a perfect idea of where he wants us to be. And he wants us to be with him, dwelling with him. And he wants to call us over there. So go ahead and tell me to come on over to you.
Come on over here, man.
All right. Hold on a second. Now I could probably do this, but I got a lot of stuff going on. And you know what? I don't know if I could shoulder this, but I'm going to try. And this is heavy. And it hurts a lot. No, it's not too bad. But I can't do this. I can't, Lord. I can't be here with you. I can't do this. I struggle. And I think God is saying exactly what Alan is trying to say to us. Like, I'm right here. I got you. You don't have to worry about this. But when, and he wants to take this backpack off of us. I think his natural response to us carrying all this stuff that we got going on in life is you don't have to carry it. It's not for you to carry.
Yeah.
I got rid of that on the cross.
Come on.
And I say, yes, Lord, take it off of me. But when he goes to take it off of me, I begin to push back. I can't let go of this. I won't let go of this. I don't deserve your grace. You see, I think this process of letting go ahead and start taking it off, is a slow process. And one that takes a while. But when we begin to let go and let God take control, oh, it feels good. We begin to experience freedom. We begin to sense his peace. We begin to sense his hope. And we get to delight in that. See, I think the perseverance that we're talking about in James 1 is one of dependence upon God. Because my strength cannot do it on my own. And I think we get an idea that God begins to carry our burdens, but he doesn't have to. He lays those down for us. He's put everything on the cross for us. And we can leave it there with him.
That's right.
Amen. Thanks, Al. Thanks again. Alan was ready to carry that bag. He was like, I'm going to show what's up. Next time. We'll do some laps after church today before we got to earn our donuts, right? You see, I think the reason why we have the need to depend upon God is because our strength, using metaphorically, is a cup. It's one that constantly needs to be refilled. We get tired, we get hungry, we get lonely, we get hurt, we get angry. All natural emotions that we're going to deal with. And we constantly need to be refilled and poured into. And oftentimes that cup for me is dry. You see, but we have a God who we get to call Abba, Father. A God that loves us so much that he wants to be there with us. One that we even get to call Papa, you know? And he says in his words, he will never leave us or forsake us. His spirit lives inside of us. And his spirit inside of us is a spring welling up inside of us. That doesn't run dry.
Come on, Matt. That's right.
My flesh may be weak, but his spirit inside of us is strong. And we can continue to go through our situations, our tragedy, because we have him to build us up,
yeah,
to bring us alongside,
yeah,
to care for us. 2 Timothy 1, 7 says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So, to go back to our questions, where is God amidst our struggle? He's right there beside you, just waiting for you to trust him. He feels your pain. He knows what you're going through. And he cares deeply and intimately for you. And for the second part of that, what is our response to God amidst this? Well, we need to begin to shift our focus. You see, when I was carrying that backpack, I didn't do a good job of showing this, but all I could do was focus on that backpack. All I could do is focus on my sin. All I could do is focus on the tragedy that I was going through. All I could do is focus on what I was carrying. And I forgot about our God who has conquered all.
Right.
And when we begin to see and experience God through the lens that he is as Father, as Lord, as Savior, then we begin to have that hope, that joy, and peace he speaks about.
Yeah.
Consider it pure joy. And we begin to persevere through this. Second is, seeing things through God's perspective and trusting him, letting go so he can take over. Because honestly, God can't begin to take those things if I'm white-knuckling the situation that I'm going on. I have to open up, let go of what I'm going through so that he can begin to take over and take control and to work in our lives. It's not easy. It's not fun. But he promises always to be there. So let's continue on in James. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This is the result of our perseverance, which is our third question. Thank you, John. When we begin to see him carry us through our struggle, we begin to trust faithfully in him. We begin to experience his hope. And we begin to walk out our faith. See, why is it important that we grow as believers? I believe that the reason why we're still here on earth is because God wants other people to know his name.
Yeah.
God wants other people to experience the same joy, the same hope that we get to call and experience through our Lord to other people. And so God wants us to go ahead and share that. I want to share a little story of actually my sister here. And I hope I'm not embarrassing her. But when she told me that she had cancer, your heart drops. And you think many things race through your mind. But she ended up saying to me, cancer is a word that humans give power to. God is bigger than this diagnosis. Sorry, Laura, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but that is a woman that is not afraid. That is a woman that trusts and believes in God. That is one who has put all of her faith, her hope in him. And she allows God to work powerfully through her. Before I finish, I just want to bring up one point. Who are we, with our finite, limited understanding, to judge what God lets to happen? An all-knowing, all-good Father. Again, it's like when we're children, and kids go through things and they get in a mess and they get hurt. And we will too as his children. But he will guide us along a step. And he will care for us. And although these things may seem horrible that we go through, I know that God has redeemed my circumstances that I've been through. My grandpa, who was my hero, he got to go home to be with his creator. He got to reunite with his wife and his daughter, who he lost at a young age. My sister, she doesn't stop telling me about how she's a witness to those nurses and doctors and other people who are going through the same situation. Praise God. And my dad's dad, he came to give the life of the Lord through the situation. So who are we to judge what God allows to happen? Jesus is the Redeemer. And he will redeem every circumstance, every situation. It doesn't matter if it's bad or good. He will redeem that situation if we allow him to. And he will work through that for his good.
Come on, that's right.
And through these situations, he's proved time and time again that we need not worry, we need not fear, nor carry our burdens ourselves, but rely upon his strength.
Yeah.
We should learn to trust in him and carry on with him. This all starts with Jesus. It's all starts with depending upon him. And if you haven't yet given your life over to Jesus, if you haven't, surrendered to him, I want to be able to walk you through a prayer with that. If you're going through similar struggles, if you're just needing to trust him, Jay, can you come up with the band? And the prayer team. We're just going to have a time of prayer. If you're going through tragedy, if you're going through loss, if you're experiencing hard times and trials that we talk about, and this God thing is something that you haven't said yes to, and maybe in some way God has come and spoken to you today, I pray that you come up, and we'd love to pray for you as the worship band plays.
Hey, I was thinking of this verse in Hebrews, and it says this in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Here's the thing. There's a race that God has marked out for each of us to run, and it's really up to you. Do you want to run carrying a heavy backpack, or do you want to run free of the burden? That's really it. I mean, we all know what makes sense, right? No one would run a race with a 50-pound backpack on just for fun. You would lay aside every weight and run with endurance the race that God has marked out for you. So if you're here today and you feel like you're carrying a little extra weight, you know what I'm saying? This is a good place to lay it aside. This is a good place to lay aside the sin that entangles, the weights that weigh us down. And that's how we're going to close today, is if you can come up and get prayer. It could be as easy as agreeing with somebody today and saying, man, there's some stuff I'm carrying that I'm tired of carrying. It just isn't even wise. It doesn't even make sense to carry it any longer. Bitterness, resentment, anger, jealousy, these are all things that we carry. So it's up to you. But I know the race that I want to run, I want to run unhindered and unburdened. So when you're ready, come on forward and receive prayer. If you need to go pick up your kids, pick up your kids. For the rest of us, be the church, and we will see you next Sunday.